I want to second what Josh said. Welcome to any visitors. I feel like there are a few new folks, maybe first, maybe second time. But I do appreciate you being here. If I didn't get to say hello to you yet, hello. It's an honor to have you with us. And today we are continuing our series called Summer in the Psalms. And the title of today's message is Lead Me to the Rock. You may have heard the theme in the scripture reading and through the music about God as a rock, as a fortress, as a foundation. And so we're going to look at Psalm 61 together. So you have a Bible, turn to Psalm 61. And if you don't have a Bible, there should be a black one there in front of you, Pew Bible. You can grab that. It's page 451 in your Pew Bible. Psalm 61, Pew Bible, page 451. And we're going to read all 8 verses of this psalm. But before we do, just a little bit of context and framework for this psalm. This is another psalm of David. We've read a few of his psalms now. And in this one, David is going to explain basically that his heart, he's in a place where his heart is overwhelmed. And he's crying out to God. His heart is overwhelmed, and he's looking for God as a fortress, as a rock. He's going to say, the title is drawn from this passage, Lead Me to the Rock. He's looking to God as a sort of hiding place as he's overwhelmed. And I know many of us are dealing with a variety of things as we're sitting here, and I don't know what your week has been like, but I know just from talking to you that many of you are in a place where perhaps your heart is overwhelmed. Maybe what life is throwing at you is just a little bit more than you can handle right now. And so I hope that through looking at this psalm and some other passages together that we'll learn from Scripture how we can see God as the rock that we can go to when our hearts are overwhelmed like David. So let's pick up in verse 1. Psalm 61, verse 1, David says, "Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows." Now, in the first two verses, you see where David's heart is at. He says that he says, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed." I know many of us can probably identify with the beginning of this psalm to an extent. Do you ever feel like you have to cry out to God? Like you're from the ends of the earth and you've just got to shout to try to get God's attention? And it's not just a whisper. It doesn't feel like God's quite close, but it feels like you've got to really shout and you're hoping that God will hear you. That's how David is starting this psalm. He says, "God, hear my cry. I'm crying out. God, listen to me. From the end of the earth, attend unto my prayer." And he says, "When my heart is overwhelmed." Now, I always find it interesting. David has several psalms like this, where he's in a place of distress, where he's overwhelmed. He's at times confused, afraid, all of those different emotions David has felt. I find it interesting coming from someone like David, because David is someone who, first of all, the things that God did through him are incredible, right? The things that David did as a man, as a warrior, were remarkable. He knew violence. He had faced the bloodshed and battles that his nation had been through. And it makes me wonder, like, what does it take for a man like David, for his heart to be overwhelmed? Like, he has seen some stuff. Like we know, even as a young boy, the Bible tells us, you know, it's killing wild animals. We know that he went and he killed Goliath with the sling and the stone, which that alone, okay, that's long distance. But then the Bible says he went up and took Goliath's sword, cut his head off. Like most of us don't have the stomach to do half of the things that David did. He's seen some stuff. He's been through some stuff. And so I just wonder, we don't know exactly in this passage, but I wonder, like, what does it take for a man like David, for him to say, like, okay, my heart is overwhelmed. I don't know exactly what it was. But it gives me a sense of encouragement to an extent that even someone like David, who was chosen by God to do some incredible things, empowered by God to do some incredible things, a man of fortitude, a man's man by every account, that if even he can get to a point where he's like, God, I'm just crying out, my heart is overwhelmed, it gives me some sense of encouragement that when I feel like my own heart is overwhelmed, when I feel like the world is kind of getting to me and I'm just like, I can't take this anymore, that even someone like David felt that. And so if you're in that place now or have been, you know that feeling, I want you to know, like, even someone like David, his heart felt overwhelmed. Now then from there, he reminds himself of some characteristics of God that I also thought were interesting considering the type of man that David is. So first he says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I at the end of verse 2. Then in verse 3 he says, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle or thy tent forever. I will trust in the cover of thy wings. David, essentially, what do all these places have in common? These are hiding places. These are not front line of battle. He's not saying, God, let me just get in there. I'm ready to go. Give me the biggest sword you got, and I'm going to go at it. He's like, I want to be up in the tower. I want to be up away from the battle. I just want to be under your wing, God. I just want to crouch here under your wing. Like, God, I just want to stay in the tabernacle. I want to stay in the tent. Like, God, you've been a refuge. Lead me to the rock. I want to be up in the tower. David wants to hide. David's not out here like, all right, God, let's go. Whatever the world's got, I'm ready. He's like, I just want to hide. I want to be up in the tower. I want to be under the wing. I want to be in the tent. Even a man like David who knew brutality, battle, violence, even he says, God, you have been a refuge for me. Even David at times says, man, I just want protection. I don't want to fight anymore. I'm overwhelmed. I can't do this anymore, God. I just want to hide. And so he's crying this out to God. And now as I'm thinking about this, okay, he's asking for hiding places. He sees God as this sort of shelter and this refuge in so many different ways. His heart is overwhelmed. And as I'm thinking about this passage this week, I'm thinking about these hiding places. I'm like, what do you do in these hiding places? There's a Christian discipline that underlies what David is talking about here. And it's not popular in our culture. And it's probably becoming less popular as we go. But it's an important Christian discipline that you see throughout Scripture. And I'll show you some examples. But can you think about what do you do in this hiding place? And what is this Christian discipline that we can learn from David in this moment? What do you think? It's not the most common Christian discipline necessarily. It's something that our culture is becoming less and less in favor of. It's a four-letter word to our culture, and it's a four-letter word literally. You wait. Waiting. Waiting is a Christian discipline. And I'll show you some examples of what I mean. But when David goes up in the tower, or he goes under God's wing of shelter, or he stays in the tent. David's going through whatever sorts of battles and storms that he's going through, and he's asking for these hiding places, and he remembers that God is a shelter and refuge for him. And what you do in those places is you wait. Right? Going up in the tower away from the enemy doesn't stop the battle, but you wait out the battle in safety. Being under God's wing doesn't stop the storm, but you can wait under the wing and wait out the storm under the protection that God provides. What David is talking about here is this Christian discipline of waiting. And now I said, this is something that our culture is not really in favor of. And maybe even ourselves. Like, we don't generally like to wait, do we? We don't want to wait. We want solutions. We want answers. We want it now, right? And everything about our culture, whether intentionally or not, is moving more and more in this direction of instant satisfaction. Okay, so I'll give some obvious examples. Amazon is one, right? We're at the point now where, like, I'm making coffee in my kitchen, and, oh, I ran out of coffee filters. I have an Alexa in my kitchen. I can literally just say, Alexa, order more coffee filters. And it does it. And they're like, it'll be here tonight. And I'm like, I'm not having coffee tonight. Tomorrow's okay. It's like, it's coming tonight. And that's one of the things that makes Amazon who they are. That's why they're so much better. It's because it's instant, right? Overnight. And now the stuff, like, you'll get it today. I could order something at 10 p.m. and it'll be on my porch when I wake up. Instant. Wow. Or when I go to BJ's, the worst part of BJ's is the line, right? I hate waiting in line because nobody goes to BJ's for like two or three things, right? Everybody has like a dump truck full of stuff. And so there's no short lines at BJ's, but this is what I love. I have the BJ's app. And so what I can do is I can basically do my checkout while I'm shopping. So I add something to the cart, scan it, put it in the cart, scan it, put it in the cart. My credit card is there. I just swipe to pay. And I walk, well, I got to wait at the second line to get my receipt checked. But I skip the checkout line at the cash register. It's faster, so much better. Right? And now we've got things like, okay, AI. AI is one, right? Artificial intelligence. Generative AI, which means that this AI can produce things for me. So for instance, I did this last week, right? Naomi and I were trying to get a little bit better about our diets. She doesn't need to, but she's on the ride with me, so I'm trying to get a little bit better. So I could go into ChatGPT, for instance, right? And I can give it instructions. And I can say, I need two meal plans for myself and my wife. We like to go to the gym. We like to exercise. I'm a pescatarian. She eats pretty much everything, but no dairy for her. Mine can be pretty repetitive. I don't mind eating the same thing every day, but she needs a little bit more variety in hers. And I can say, make me a meal plan, make me the recipes, give me the shopping list, give me all the ingredients in 2 minutes. I've got a week worth of meals. And I can say, this is perfect. Do it for a month. Instant. I've got a meal plan for a month in 5 minutes. That's great. I love how fast it is, right? I don't have to go talk to a dietitian, though maybe I should, be like, is this legit? Is this good? It can make mistakes, but it's fast. It's instant. We don't like to wait. And anything that makes us wait tends to fall out of favor. Maybe like the DMV is the only place we still have to wait. And even they're getting a little bit better. But we don't like to wait. But as I'm thinking about this and how David just, he wants to wait in these shelters that God provides, I started thinking about other scripture that tells us, like, actually, believe it or not, waiting, especially waiting on the Lord, is a good thing. Waiting is good for you. Particularly when it comes to waiting on the Lord. Let me share a few examples. In Isaiah 40, 31, and if you want this printed, I'll get you a copy. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. and they shall walk and not faint. So those who wait renew their strength. No, waiting, that saps my strength, right? The longer I wait, the less strength I have, the less patience I have, the more angry I become. No, but waiting on the Lord renews your strength, spiritually speaking. Psalm 27:14 says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. What did David say was overwhelmed? His heart. Because my heart is overwhelmed. But David's got the right idea. He's like, I'm going to take refuge and hide with the Lord, because he knows in doing, he'll strengthen his heart. Lamentations 3:25-26. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Now, there are plenty other passages that I could read that share a similar sentiment, but you see time and time again that it is a good thing to wait for the Lord. You actually renew your strength when you wait for the Lord. Now, I know many of you are waiting for something. Many of you are waiting for a test result. I know many of you are getting tests with your doctors and you're just waiting. What's it going to be? Now, some of you here don't know this, but my wife had breast cancer 5 years ago. And we got the diagnosis on a Monday. The OB called and said, yes, it's cancer and it's spreading. And we said, okay, so what's the prognosis? And she said, oh, I don't know. I said, well, what's the treatment plan? She goes, oh, I don't know. But it's definitely cancer and it's definitely spreading. We're like, it's like, well, you're going to see your surgeon on Thursday. They'll tell you, Thursday? Like, you drop that news on a Monday with no context, and you say you have to wait until Thursday. And those 3 or 4 days were like the worst days of our lives. Just waiting, like, is this stage 4? Don't know. It spread. How far? Don't know. Obviously, we're picturing worst case scenario as we're waiting and waiting. And every hour felt like a day, and every day felt like a week. And we were just waiting to hear what was going to happen. And I know some of you are in that same place. You're waiting. And I will tell you, boy, did we ever pray more than those 3 or 4 days? Probably not. Did we cry out to God like crazy in those 3 or 4 days? Yeah. Were there times you're like, God, as a man, I'm like helpless to do, I can't do anything. I'm like, look, give me something to do and I'll do it. There's nothing I can do. And so we just wanted to hide. Like, God, like, I just want to be in the tower, in the tent, under your wing, because that's all I got. And I know some of you are waiting in situations like that right now. I know people, as we've grown up, younger adults, waiting, like, where is my spouse? Am I ever going to get married? Like, what's going on with that? Others, young couples, waiting, like, hey, we're trying to have kids. And people keep asking, when are the grandkids coming, right? And it's like, yeah, you know what? We're trying, but we're just waiting. I know people who have been waiting to find a job for months and months and months. Waiting is hard. Waiting can be heartbreaking. But we can, in our waiting, do what David did. See God as a refuge. See God as a shelter. It doesn't stop the storm. It doesn't stop the battle, but you can wait out the battle and the storm closer to the Lord. And here's the reality of it. By and large, whatever it is that we are waiting for, you're going to wait either way. You're going to wait either way. Where are you going to wait? I would rather wait in the tent, under the wing, in the tower, up on the rock. I know some of you are waiting for loved ones to come to Christ. Some of you are waiting for loved ones to just show up to church. And I know many of you, you're talking to family members, you're talking to your kids, your spouse, whoever it might be. You're like, I keep sharing the gospel month after month and year after year, and I don't see anything happening. Like, I wish that they would just come to church once would be a blessing, and you're waiting for that. And that's heartbreaking, and it's frustrating. When you see God as a refuge, as a rock that we can stand on in our waiting, when we are overwhelmed by these things that are keeping us waiting, there's hope in that. And you see it at the end of this psalm. There's hope in this. I heard it put this way once. I'll quote it. I don't remember who said it, but it said, "Peace is not found in your distance from trouble, but in your proximity to the Lord." Peace is not found in your distance from trouble, but in your proximity to the Lord. And David knew that. He's like, I'm overwhelmed. I've got to go to God. I've got to go to my refuge. I've got to go to the tower. Now, all that said, we don't like waiting. We want God, like, hey, God, whatever you're going to do, like, just sooner would be great. This week even would be great if you could. Waiting for the Lord doesn't necessarily mean, like, just hold on and you're going to get everything that you want. That's not the case either. I know some people wait, and they wait, and they wait, and whatever it is that they're waiting to happen, or they're waiting for good news or bad news, and sometimes they wait, and the news is just bad. Sometimes they wait, and something just doesn't come to fruition. That may be. So I'm not saying that just wait, just hold on a little bit longer, and you're going to get whatever it is you want. But look at what David says at the end of his psalm. In verse 5, it says, "For thou, O God, has heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him." So he's going to abide before God forever. He's going to prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. And I would just ask you, Christian, is that enough? Is that enough? In your waiting, to simply be under God's wing and close to him, is that enough? Or just say, you know what, I think I've had enough of this wing, I've had enough of this tower, I'm out here, I'm going to find something else. David recognizes that, look, just the mercy, the truth of God is going to preserve him. He's going to abide before God forever. And then he closes with this, "So will I sing praise unto thy name forever." It's like, I'm going to praise God forever. And then he says, "That I may daily perform my vows." Now, we may not always get whatever that thing is that we're hoping for, but what I believe genuinely is when we're close to God and we seek him as refuge, that the things that God has prepared for us and called us to and planned for us, they will come through. It may be more waiting. It may not be the best news. But David says, look, when I'm close to you and I'm praising you and you're my refuge, I'll be able to fulfill my vows. Those things that God had set forth for him, he's going to do. Again, is that enough? If all God could promise was, look, you may have to wait, but what I have prepared and purposed for you is going to come through. Is that enough? That's the question. Now, we don't like to be told to wait. It's something we have to train our children to do. We have to teach them what's called delayed gratification, right? And children struggle with that. Adults struggle with that. We don't want to be patient, but our ability to wait, it is a fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? being able to wait. There's a word for that. Patience. Patience is the ability to wait well. Now look, if you go to, for instance, the DMV, you're going to wait either way. You may wait patiently or impatiently, but you'll wait either way. But the fruit of the Spirit of God working in us produces the ability to wait well, which means if it's the DMV, right, you're not, you know, getting all angry about it. It's not waiting well, that's just waiting, but it's not patience. But when the Spirit of God is working in us, it produces patience. It produces the ability to wait well. It's also, in 1 Corinthians 13, it's one of the first characteristics of love, isn't it? Love is patient, kind, and etc. But when the Spirit of God is working on us, it makes us wait well. And when I think about the fruit of the Spirit, and I think of passages like that, patience, I think about dealing with difficult people. Right? Somebody, there's somebody that just always rubs you the wrong way. They've always, you know, there's always something with that person, and okay, I'm going to try to be patient with that difficult person. That's what always comes to mind. But as I was studying this week, I'm like, could it also mean patience spiritually in the things that God is doing? I always think interpersonally, but when the Spirit of God is working in us, does it make us more patient with God Himself? More trusting of God's own timeline? More humble in our own understanding of when and how things should happen? Yeah. When the Spirit of God is producing patience in us, we can wait well, not just with difficult people and circumstances, but we can wait well on the Lord. But if we are, rather than walking by the Spirit, we're walking by the flesh, we become impatient. When we become impatient about timing, we can become a little bit arrogant. Say, hey, this should have happened by now. Hey, God, you're late. I wanted this last week. What's going on? I'll give you an example. There was a time before we came here. I felt called to do this 2 years at least before I even knew this church existed. And we were at our last church, and there's no problems, nothing wrong. But I remember coming home one day and telling Naomi, I was like, I don't think we're supposed to be here anymore. I'm supposed to be doing something else. And she's like, okay, I will follow you, whatever it is. I trust you. I will follow you. What is it? I was like, I don't know. And my mindset is kind of like the children walking through the desert, children of Israel walking through the desert. Look, when God moves, the people move. When God stays still, the people wait. And this has been sort of how I lead my family. Like, if I don't see the path that God is opening, we wait. So we stayed in our last church for 2 years. And I was like, this isn't it. There's something else. I'm supposed to be someplace else. I don't know what it is. I'm not going to move. I had ideas, but I was like, I really don't see exactly what the path is. So I wait and I wait. And I'm like, I want to be doing this. I love to do this. I'm like, God, I want to be doing this more. And like Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, imagine 2 years. That's more than 100 Sundays where I'm like, I'm supposed to be preaching. I'm supposed to be preaching. I'm supposed to be doing this. I'm supposed to be 100 Sundays. Feeling called and called and called with no opportunity in front of me, or minimal, a little bit, but not what I thought I was called to, until eventually get a call from Maria. Maria calls the pastor at our last church. Hey, we need some help with the pulpit. Do you know anybody? And I told the pastor, I was like, hey, man, I don't know how or where or when or what, but I feel called to be doing this more. I just wanted to tell you. And he's like, okay, great. Sure enough, Maria calls him. He goes, oh, I have somebody. And then I get in touch with Maria, then with Pastor Al. And some of you know, some of you don't, but the timing of when I came here, Pastor Al had some health issues that took him really completely to the sideline. And the timing of those things, like, could not have been more God-aligned. Like, there's no question in anyone's mind, all of the little details that only, you know, a few of us know who were really in the middle of it, but I had to wait. That's not to say, like, just wait and you'll get, you know, your wildest dreams will come true. It's not that, but sometimes waiting is a good thing. Sometimes waiting, it's good for you. It renews your strength when you wait on the Lord, when you wait well, when you wait patiently. And the words that are used in Scripture, depending what verse you're looking at in the original language, is like, we just have the word wait, right? But there's different types of waiting. Like, there's waiting with, and in this passage, a hopeful anticipation. So again, you can wait and be like, okay, I'm waiting because I got nothing else to do. Or you can wait with like, all right, God, you just show me where and when, and I'm ready to walk into it. And now you're preparing things and you're setting stuff up, whatever it may be. And so you just show me. That's hopeful anticipation. That's biblical Christian waiting. And if you need help, so Dan, I'm not a patient person. I don't like to wait. None of us do. If you need help, remember the patience of God towards you. When I said patience is a fruit of the Spirit, the Spirit of God working in you produces patience. It is a characteristic of His. It is a characteristic of the Lord to be patient, and He has been patient with you, hasn't He? Could God say, like David did in verse 1, has God ever, could He say to you, hey, I've been trying to get your attention from over here for a while now. Hello? And He's patient. And I know for a lot of us, God's been like, hey, I'm knocking, I'm trying to, hello? And He waited for you, and He was patient. It's a characteristic of God Himself to wait well. When we told God, I don't want anything to do with you, when we chose our own way, when we sat on the throne of our lives that rightfully belonged to Him, and He's like, oh, let you sit there. You can sit. We're gonna swap seats soon, but I'll wait. Thank God He's patient. So if you struggle to be patient with God, remember His patience with you. And turn with me as we close. I just want to show you one passage. 1 Timothy. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 1. If you're using a Pew Bible, it's page 876. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Pew Bible, page 876. This is Paul writing to Timothy. We'll pick up in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Look at verse 12. Paul writes this, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Now, Paul's going to describe what type of person he was before becoming a Christian. Verse 13, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Paul is someone who, before becoming a Christian, hated Christians, hated the church, proactively tried to destroy it, sent Christians to jail, put them to death. That's Paul. And he says a blasphemer, injurious. He's like, I'm out here trying to hurt Christians. And God could have just squashed him like a bug, couldn't He? He's like, Paul, get out of my way. He got Paul out of his way in a different way, with patience and mercy. He got Paul, instead of being the opposition, He made Paul an apostle, a teacher, a church planter. He used Paul for His glory, and it was an act of God's patience. Look how He describes it. So in verse 13, it says, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Verse 14, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of who I am chief. Now look at verse 16. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering. That's patience. For a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Paul says, I had every reason for God to just squish me like a bug. I had every reason for God to lose his patience with me. But he didn't. And instead, from God himself, I received mercy. He was merciful with me. And in Christ Jesus, he showed me his long-suffering, which is an old English word for patience. It's like God was patient with me. As awful as I was, God was patient and he showed mercy. And he says it's as a pattern or as an example for those who will believe in the future. And that's the pattern that we see. And any one of us here who calls ourselves a Christian, it's the same thing, that we were at one point enemies of God, against God, at least disinterested in God. And he was patient. And he waited until at some point, in different ways, at different points of our lives, we put our faith in Christ. And so I want to close with just a over time, but I just want to close by asking you, where are you with Christ? Where are you? Set aside the things of the world that are overwhelming your heart for a moment. I don't mean to minimize them, but there's a more important question to discuss. Is God knocking? Is God trying to get your attention? You know what I'm talking about if he is. You know exactly what I'm talking about. If God has been trying to get your attention, he is being patient. Because the Bible says he does not want any destroyed. He wants us to repent. He wants us to live. And so he's patient with us, showing mercy. So my question is, if you haven't put your faith in Christ yet, what are you waiting for? Why are you extending God's patience another day, another week, another month? Like, he's got patience, but if he's trying to get your attention, it's because he's trying to show you his mercy and his goodness and his kindness. It's because he's like, hey, I am the rock and the tower, and I will cover you with my wing. Don't live out there where the world is going to eat you up and spit you out. It's like, you can come to me as a refuge. I'm being patient. The gate is open. But like I started this morning, look, not everybody who thought they were going to wake up today did. Eventually, like, listen, time runs out. And God's patient and he loves you and he just wants you close. And so I would encourage you, if you haven't done that yet, put your faith in Christ. The mercy and the goodness and the kindness that come with that, when he covers our sin, it's incredible. There's nothing like it. That is the greatest refuge and rock and tower that we have. And so if you haven't done that up to this point, please come talk to me after service. Talk to somebody. That's the greatest decision you could make today. God's patience towards you, church, let that remind each of us. Let's be patient with him too. Let's wait well. It's a characteristic of God and his Spirit working in us when we can wait well and wait on the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this psalm. I thank you that it's so relatable, that we at times feel like our hearts are overwhelmed. We might feel like we have to cry out from the ends of the earth to get your attention. But Father, I pray you would help us to remember like David did. You are a shelter. You are a rock. You're a strong tower for us. You're a refuge that we can go to and hide when the world overwhelms us. And Father, I pray for those who don't know that refuge, who don't know that shelter, don't know just how long you've been waiting and how patient you've been, I pray that you would impress upon their hearts today that you're patient like a father who loves his children. So I pray you would touch hearts today, and if anyone hasn't put their faith in Christ today, that you would work in their heart, that they might do that today. and enjoy the refuge that you are for us. I pray you would help us as we go out of here with heavy hearts, perhaps. Help us to hide under your wing, in your tent, in your tower, while we wait. We wait for whatever it is that may be coming. Help us to wait well. Help us to trust you more. We know that you love us and you care. So as we wait, Father, help us to wait patiently as you waited for us. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.